Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Woo woo! Good Friday morning, everybody. Yes. Hope your weekend is getting off to a great start. Akeem, go ahead and correct the record. I know you want to do that.
It sounds like to me Chris Morales is getting lazy at his damn job. He's trying to put this narrative out there as if Sean McVay picked Marcellus to beat me and they went to the Super Bowl. It was not the same year. So let's stop trying to put that out there like that.
They did go to the playoffs.
They went to the playoffs. They made it. They squeaked into the playoffs, and they got popped.
Well, they didn't squeak in. They won the division.
Pre-post in halftime. Be quiet. This is my
Not much longer.
So you're making stuff up to defend against Chris making stuff up. Is that what you're doing now?
No, Chris is making that up saying that the reason I said that they was going to win four games is because Sean McVay picked Marcellus to win the marquee race, which he did not win, by the way. The Rams went to the playoffs that year, not the damn Super Bowl.
That's true.
I don't remember that.
I don't want them trying to fake it and make it seem like I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't like that, and it pisses me off.
I don't remember that.
No, he's right about the timeline. He is right about the timeline. Another this date in sports history, fellas. Not only did Willis Reed play 3 minutes in a basketball game, but also another NBA note. The Denver Nuggets took out the Sonics as an 8 seed over a number one. The first time we'd ever seen that. That also happened May 8th, way back in 1994.
Yeah, that was a hell of a series, man. I remember that. It was just absolutely incredible to sit there and watch Dikembe Mutombo, who can't score a bucket, just dominate a series the way that he did, and then expose Sean Kemp. That was the other thing. I was like, I thought the Rain Man couldn't be stopped. Oh, he ain't got no moves. Oh, damn.
You know, like, Rain Man didn't have no moves, man. Rain Man had one jab step and up to the cup.
Man, I thought for sure, though, he could do something besides just try to dunk on people.
Man, he was a bigger Dominique Wilkins.
Man, you know, we've talked so much about the iconic moments that we've seen in the Jordan series, but that's another one of those moments with Dikembe Mutombo lying on the floor clutching the ball. I can see that vividly. You know what I mean? That's one of those things that it happened 1994. I mean, we're talking about 26 years ago, and I can see it like it was yesterday.
Was he on that 6-13 with AI?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They traded Theo Ratliff.
Okay.
All right. So the schedule is out. The 2020 NFL schedule is out. Key, let's go through the Rams schedule game by game and give us an idea on what you think is going to happen. Yeah. The week one, Dallas Cowboys coming to LA to open SoFi Stadium. How does it go?
I think the Dallas Cowboys come in and they get the victory. I think Dallas has a better team roster and they got a superior coach now and they're set out after being fired from the Green Bay Packers. So whatever he set out, he learned something from. And I think he just has a better team than he had at the end in Green Bay. He picks up a better team with the Dallas Cowboys, Amari Cooper, Dak Prescott. I mean, I go on and on and on about the defense and what they have, the defensive coordinator and Mike Nolan, the former head coach. So this is essentially what Sean McVay entered his first couple years with the Rams. You bring in a quality defensive head coach that used to be a head coach, and Mike Nolan, same thing as Wade Phillips. You got a quarterback that is pretty good that you just need to get on the same page. Dak Prescott, kind of like a Jared Goff. You got a running back and a girly like Ezekiel Elliott. You got some offensive line. So you got some pieces that are already in place. And I don't think Mike McCarthy forgot how to coach football. It's going to be a good game, but I think the Rams drop this one.
Okay, so a loss out of the gate. Then they go on the road for back-to-back games. Philadelphia in week two at the Eagles.
I think they lose that game in Philadelphia as well. I think Philadelphia comes off, you know, it's the beginning of the year. It's a fast-paced type deal. Carson Wentz has a lot to prove. They've retooled some things on their offense in terms of the skill positions, gone out and got a plethora of wide receivers to help him out. I think that the Rams start off 0-2.
All right.
I don't like the way Keyshawn does this, Travis.
Do they start 0-3? They got to go to Buffalo after Philly, another road game in the East.
No, they get their act together because they're sitting on the East Coast and they're trying to figure out what went wrong in those first two games. They get back to the drawing board. They muster up some schemes to go to Buffalo. It's not cold. It's a hostile environment. Buffalo, whatever little bit of crowd is in the stadium, is jacked up, ready to go. They take care of business in Buffalo.
All right, they get their first win of the season in Buffalo. They come back to L.A. The New York Giants are next.
They win that football game. It's the first win in the new stadium. Oh, the nice. Giants aren't quite there. They got a better football team, a better coach than the Giants. They run away with this one. We see the Rams explode onto the scene. They hang up 45 points on this defense of the Giants. The Giants only allow the Giants only can somehow figure out how to get 17.
All right, so 2-2 through the first quarter of the season. Back to the East Coast again, this time Washington.
Yeah, they take care of business against the Redskins. It won't be one of those situations where, you know, they're struggling like they did against the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. They go in, they annihilate Haskins. Now all of a sudden the Boo Birds come out for the Washington Redskins, and then the Rams are rolling.
All right, so they are three-game winners in a row at this point. Another road game, this time the first divisional game of the season in San Francisco against the Niners.
It's going to be a tough one. San Francisco is still mad, and from that loss in the Super Bowl, the 49ers retooled their defense with Javon Kinlaw, a first-round pick, replacing Buckner. They also get a receiver in the kid from Arizona State. Now, all of a sudden, this team looks like the team that ended the season last year in San Francisco. The Rams are not good enough to go to Frisco and beat them. They catch an L.
All right. 3-3 through the first six, 500 team. The Bears on a Monday night in SoFi Stadium.
The Chicago Bears have a lot of turmoil going on. The defense is lights out. They do exactly what you expect for them to do from a defensive standpoint, but they go to Nick Foles at the quarterback spot. And now Aaron Donald and that defense is chomping at the bit to get at him. The problem that you have, though, is that defense in Chicago is geared up and ready to go. They drop it to the Chicago Bears in SoFi Stadium.
That's the first one, Key, that I if they lose that game, I think that puts them in a certain spot in that season, because that's one of those games at home against the Bears team that I don't think too many people are picking to go into the playoffs. That would be a bad loss. The other ones that you put out there,
yeah, but I don't understand what they make them think the Chicago Bears is a bad team. They got the same – do you know what the Chicago Bears got? They got the same problem that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had. Their quarterback has held them back. Their quarterback held them back.
Nick Foles, though, has been much better in a relief role than in a starting role.
Yeah, but he's coming in. Remember, he's coming in as a starter in an offense that he's accustomed to being in. And you got to remember that now. He's been in this same offense basically his entire career. So it's kind of like you expect for him to kind of hit on all cylinders and just do enough, lean heavy on that defense to get after the Rams in SoFi Stadium. That's just a prediction. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, just a prediction.
The final game of the first half of the season, the game before their bye, all the way back to the East Coast again, this time the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, they get this one. They clip the Dolphins. They, you know, there's no Tua in effect. Fitzy magic, he doesn't have any more left. The Miami Dolphins are still looking to get a first-round pick to the following year. So it's kind of like they should win this football game, be happy on a long trip back to L.A. before their bye.
All right, so they go into a bye in week 9. They pick up the second half of the season after going 4-4 in the first half. They've got what has been traditionally their most competitive division opponent, the Seattle Seahawks, in SoFi Stadium.
The Rams get Seattle in SoFi Stadium. They beat up on the Seahawks. The Seahawks, for some reason, was sleepwalking. They just kind of hadn't gotten their act together. They play them tough all the time. But this is one of those games where the Seahawks is mesmerized by the big jumbotron, and they wind up losing the game.
All right, they beat Seattle. They go back to the East Coast again. If you're keeping score, that's Philly, Buffalo, Washington, Miami, Tampa. That's five trips to the East Coast. How do they do against the Bucs and Tom Brady?
It's going to be a big one, and they lose this one. Tom Brady pumping a fist, Monday Night Football. I'm Tommy Brady. Nobody can touch me. I'm the greatest of all times. I got my buddy Gronk next to me. They lose this football game, but not a bad one. They play well. They do everything they're supposed to do. But for whatever reason, Bruce Arians, along with Todd Bowles, has Sean McVay's number. no matter who the quarterback is. They win it two times, consecutive wins against the Rams in a row. One out here last year with the famous Jameis, and now all of a sudden Tommy takes care of them in Tampa.
All right, so they get San Francisco for the second time, this time in SoFi Stadium. You had them dropping the game up at Levi Stadium. How do they do in L.A.?
They dropped this one to the San Francisco 49ers again.
I don't like the way you're doing this,
not quite ready to win this game against Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo is coming into his own at this point in time in the season. He's connecting big time. They're gashing the Rams in the running game. They're doing everything that you would expect a type of Super Bowl caliber team to do. They basically blow the Rams out of the new stadium.
Okay, so that at this point, you have the Rams at 5-6. They go back on the road to take on Arizona for the first time this season. Now, keep in mind, the Arizona Cardinals have been a punching bag for the Rams and Sean McVay. Since Sean McVay's taken over, they have not lost to Arizona. Not only have they not lost to him, they've absolutely dominated them. Does it continue?
That continues. Easy sneezy. They just going to go down, take care of business, get their record to 500, and try to scratch their heads and figure out how to backdoor into the playoffs.
All right, so 500 going into the final quarter of the season. The Patriots, Bill Belichick, SoFi Stadium, Thursday Night Football.
Bill Belichick comes in, takes care of business, long trip from Boston, but he's such a great coach that he musters up this great defensive scheme to slow down Jared Goff. There's no Todd Gurley to worry about. Cam Akers is not doing the things that they expected him to do. Therefore, the running game does not help Jared Goff out. Jared Goff has a disastrous of a game. Belichick and that defense does his job. They lose this game to the New England Patriots. And everybody on 710 Sports Talk Radio is wondering, when are they going to sign another quarterback?
That is not true. Travis, we need to do a better version of this after the break. None of this is right.
Three more teams here. We got the Jets coming to L.A. It's the only time the Rams play back-to-back home games. They get the Jets on the back end of that in Week 15.
They take care of business. Slap up the Jets. Jets a good football team. Not quite there yet, though. But the Rams, they get mad. They take care of business, handle the Jets. Now they get another W.
All right, back to Seattle. The Seattle Seahawks, Week 16, in the cold. Jared Goff does not do well in the cold. How does that one go?
That one goes pretty good for Jared Goff. He does a great job in the cold weather. He turns the table, but Russell Wilson's on the other side, and Seattle is trying to win the division. Seattle wins the football game with a long field goal in the end.
All right, so that brings us to the final game of the season. You have the Rams at 7-8 at this point. Do they get to 500 with a win against Arizona?
The Arizona Cardinals do the same thing they've always done against the Rams. They drop it. The Rams are an 8-8 football team. That is what they are.
All right, LZ, you can have your rebuttal because I know you don't like those. We'll do that. Plus, we're going to get into a whole bunch of other stuff as well. We've got Last Dance coming up on Sunday at 6 o'clock. We'll talk to Amin El Hassan about that coming up next on The Morning Show, 710 ESPN. Well, I think everybody knows what we're about to do next. We're about to check in with ESPN front office insider Amin El Hassan joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Good morning, Amin. How are things?
I'm mad that y'all actually played that song for her. That was a low point in this show's history. When you guys had a multi-platinum recording artist and you played that for her.
Yeah, letting her know that she don't own her stuff. That once you do some art, it goes out in the universe, and anyone can do with it. They can sample it. If you're in hip hop or like me, you can do like a remix.
Pitiful, man. Pitiful.
Amin, my friend.
What up?
Do you believe that we're going to have regular season games, then the postseason, just straight postseason, or a display season altogether on the other side of this? What say you?
I've been very consistent about this from pretty much 2 weeks into the shutdown. I don't think we're going to have an end to the season. I just don't see. Like I said, I follow the news, and none of it is encouraging as far as the science goes of how to safely do this. And I know that Commissioner Silver is very focused on the safety of everybody involved, He has to be optimistic. He has to kind of allow things to play out before he can make any definitive statements. But I don't. And sitting from where I sit here and knowing what I know, I don't think that we're going to have an end to the season. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am.
Well, when you look at what's happening right now, though, I mean, teams are going in the building, right? Organizations are going back in their buildings starting today, I believe. And so it certainly is pointing in the right direction. Now, doesn't mean they're going to have 5-on-5 practicing and that, but the fact that they're walking in the building, allowing people in the building at distancing and whatever numbers at per hour or whatever it is that they are going to do, the fact that they are letting people in the building and we're opening up certain parts of the country from time to time, it certainly seems to me that there will be something coming down the pipeline sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think that's misleading, Key, because here's the deal. If the NBA had just come out and said, you know what, I think we're ready. You know, things are starting to look up. Let's start opening the facilities slowly but surely. Then I would agree with you. That's the first step towards a return. But that's not what happened here. What happened is some states had a political decision, and by political I mean like the governor of the state decided, all right, let's start opening things up. And one of the things they said, let's open up our gym. And so what was happening was teams were getting questions from their players saying, hey, where I live, they're opening the gym. Is it cool if I go hit up Lifetime Fitness or 24 Hour or Crunch or whatever to get a workout in? Because it's legal now. And the NBA rightfully was like, I don't want our players going into public gyms who God knows how well or how poorly maintained they're going to be and maybe catch something, right? So if guys are going to go and work out because they don't have workout equipment or facilities wherever they live, let's give them a safe place to do this. This is just basically a reaction to what the decision-making has been in some of these states. And the proof of that is in the states where public gyms are not open, we don't have that happening for NBA practice facilities. It's not like the Lakers can start going back to their facility. Not quite yet, at least. They're trying to work something out with the governor. But again, this is all in reaction to what local government has done rather than reaction to the science. And what you were saying, Key, is more what would happen if the science said we could start going back to work and going back to gym.
We're talking with Amin El-Hassan, ESPN front office insider on the Sprint People's Hotline. Amin, we've been spending a ton of time talking about The Last Dance. We've seen the first six episodes, episodes 7 and 8 coming up on Sunday evening, 6 o'clock on ESPN. What's the biggest takeaway for you so far through the first six episodes?
For me, I won't lie, a lot of it is stuff that I knew, but it's different to see it happen. It's different to see the people talk about it, the behind-the-scenes stuff, to see the stuff happen at the moment, and that's eye-opening. So a great example is the story of Jordan wearing the flag, the cover, the Reebok logo. That wasn't something that was revealed last Sunday. Matter of fact, that was something at the time in 1992. That was a big story the day after that game. And so we've known this our whole life, or at least us basketball people have known this our whole lives. And obviously Jack McCallum wrote a book, and we had a big documentary about Dream Team also. So we've known it. We've known it as well as anyone can know it. But Sunday night, I saw for the first time Michael Jordan riding in a car driving around Barcelona talking about, I got something for the you know what, tomorrow. That's shocking. I didn't know it was like that. Like he on camera is telling you how he's plotting to do this on the next day at the gold medal game. So that is the kind of stuff that really blows me away, is when there's documentation of these things. But again, we knew Jerry Krause and Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen had a poor relationship with one another. But I never seen Jordan walking around talking about, yo, don't smoke this cigar, it'll stunt your growth. I don't know how many of y'all saw that before or heard those words audibly before, but that was my first time seeing the actual example of the things I've heard about since 1993, I guess. So those are the things that are really the big takeaway for me. And then, of course, my man, the perm twins, my man with the perm, the security guard, and the Jerry curl. Hey, I don't care who you are, man. If you didn't get a kick out of that part of the documentary, you're dead inside.
When you look at the documentary and you look at the way the Scottie Pippen is portrayed in the beginning, so to speak, because Michael hadn't said anything about the contract and he called Scottie selfish and he talked about the migraine. Is this poor by Michael, or are we making too big of a deal about it in trying to, you know, drum it up for whatever reason?
Key, I'm going to say this. I think a lot of people share this feeling with me, but I'm not sure. But for most people, if you are who you are and you're consistent with it, we pretty much accept it. As long as I know what I'm getting, I can't be disappointed when I get it. And in that sense, Scottie knows who Michael is. He was around him and around him much more than any of us, and knows what the real Michael Jordan is like. So to hear him say those things, while Scottie probably obviously doesn't agree, I'm sure it doesn't come as a shock to him. And like, oh, I can't believe Michael would say such a thing about me. This is the prism you got to see everything we talk about Michael Jordan. When he says Scottie is selfish, he's selfish because basically he says Scottie is taking a stand on a cause that doesn't impact me and is affecting a cause that does impact me. In this case, he's taking a stand on his contract, which has nothing to do with me, but it's impacting my ability to win a championship. Michael Jordan's whole thing is we're trying to win a championship. And everything else that doesn't go along with that goal is quote-unquote selfish to him because it has nothing to do with him. And I think that is, again, something for people who've been around Michael, know that's how he is. So they kind of just accept it. You know that's how he – you don't mean anybody. It's just that's his life view. And so in that sense, wow. Much like, you know what, Keith, like his Hall of Fame speech. Those of us who are inside that circle who know kind of who he's been are like, yeah, that's Michael Jordan. But there's a vast majority, millions, if not billions of people who watch that speech and are watching this documentary. Like, oh, my goodness. Michael is such a crazy competitive holic. Yeah, we've been knowing this. But again, it's fun to see it, actually, the words coming out of his mouth. And also, it's fun to watch the examples from back then.
Amin, do you believe that the Bulls would have been able to have kept the dysfunction to a certain degree when it came to Jerry Krause quiet if they were doing that today?
No, not a chance. LG, there's no way. I mean, think about if, and it's hard to compare because, you know, Phil Jackson, obviously, at that point, we're talking about 4 or 5 championships and really storied coach at that point. But imagine if the Warriors, at the beginning of last year, right, the last year with Kevin Durant, said, yeah, by the way, Steve Kerr's not coming back. It doesn't matter if we go 82-0. Bob Myers would be out of a job if he did that. Right, there's no way you can handle things that poorly, and we're not even going to get into the social media aspect of how nothing is a secret nowadays. I'm just saying the way they publicly handled this, there's no way that guy survives, because at the end of the day, yes, you put this thing together, yes, you deserve credit, but to keep this thing going, we don't quite need you. There are other qualified people in this world who can keep this thing going. It's not like he's a complete mastermind who was batting 1,000 on every move.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he would have been out of a job a lot faster than he was back then.
And players have way more control nowadays than they did back then.
Why were we so forgiving back then? I mean, clearly it was a dumpster fire in a lot of ways, but it was characterized not as such. Was it simply because they were winning?
Yeah, I mean, I think the success is in LZ. I mean, like, don't forget, man. Like, people were like saying, "This is crazy. This is crazy. I can't believe it's going to happen." But you know, they were so successful. I think we all thought, "Nah, they're just saying that." But you know how they're going to get back together? Say, "God, we can't break up a good thing, whatever." And I think, in a sense, Jerry Krause was playing a game of chicken. He was saying, "Well, I'm going to fire the coach." And Michael Jordan said, "If you fire the coach, I'm not coming back." And Jerry Krause was like, all right, we'll see. We'll see if you're really going to, like, put your money where your mouth is, because Mike was really making $30 million at that point. So I just think it's a game of chicken that probably went bad on Jerry Krause. But, yeah, no, back then people were saying this is crazy, but we just didn't really believe it would happen.
ESPN front office insider Amin El Hassan on the Spring People's Hotline. Amin, always good to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Hey, real quick, man. I heard Keyshawn said his favorite video game was a pinball machine.
That's not what that's not what I said. So whoever put that trash in your ear, don't fall for it, okay?
I think we don't fall for it.
Don't have yourself out there looking silly, messing around with people that are silly.
That's why I said I heard.
That's why I said whoever put that in your head, don't allow them to put you in that position. You smarter than that.
It's on Twitter.
It's not his favorite, but it's in his top 10, clearly.
Top four.
Wrong.
All right. All right. Thanks, Amin. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, good.
All right, you got it. All right, I'll let you defend Pinball Key Plus. We're going to get into the Raiders schedule. That's coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
I love that the Raiders have their own theme song. That's just fantastic. Raiders are in Vegas. Raiders have a new stadium as well. And the Raiders are going to be better than they were a year ago. I think we're all on the same page there. Looking at the Raiders schedule, Key, they get an absolute ass kicker for the first 5 weeks of the season. They've got New Orleans to open up their build. They open at Carolina. That's the one game in that stretch that you think, okay, we'll see what it is. They get the Saints at home. They go to New England. They have Buffalo at home. Then they have to go to Kansas City. Those five games, they could be 2-3. They could be 1-4 potentially.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. You know, the New Orleans Saints always drop one to a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers out of nowhere. They just – so you don't know about New Orleans. You just don't know. Going into Oakland, Oakland certainly is a better football team than they were in the past.
I think Vegas this time.
Or what did I say? Oakland?
Yeah.
Vegas is Raiders. I'm just going to say Raiders.
There you go.
Used to saying Vegas. The Raiders are a better football team right now than they were a year ago. They've gotten better. They've addressed some needs in the offseason that it should make them better. This is now John Gruden's third year with this team. Now everything is his blueprint. So they should be better. New Orleans is coming off a headache of a last season, coming down to the wire, losing again after getting snubbed by the Rams in that one the year before. So when you start to look at that, they catch them in a hostile environment. Hopefully it's a hostile environment because it's, you know, depending on where we're at in the country, if we're letting fans in the building or whatnot, but let's just assume that it works out that way. They're going to be in a hostile environment. I think the Raiders can clip them. I think the Raiders could somehow clip Sean Payton and his buddy, I mean, you know, and John Gruden being, I guess, Sean Payton's mentor.
Then they go to New England, playoff team. Like, you know, again, obviously very different without Tom Brady. They've got Buffalo at home, playoff team. Then they have to go to Kansas City, the defending Super Bowl champions. There is not a single soft spot there. I don't think that they're going to get they're going to get 0-4 or 0-5, I should say, but Key, if they get out of there with three wins, look the hell out. If they got out of that first five-game stretch, I think they
can go 3-2. I think that's a 3-2 schedule for them.
Where are the three? Carolina, New Orleans, and who?
Carolina, New Orleans, and New England.
So you think they start 3-0?
I actually do. The Raiders started off hot last year. Think about it. They started off where you was like, wait a minute. This looked different.
I'm going back to seeing here. They got off to a bad start last year.
Was it the year before they got off to a good start?
Yeah, they dropped a couple out of the – they went 1-2 through their first three. But I just the way that these things tend to – and especially, you know, you mentioned New Orleans.
Well, they got hot. No, they got hot. They dropped 1-2, then they got hot.
Yeah. They got hot in the middle and made a little bit of a playoff run at that point. But I just, you know, again, when you look at these, they're not three of the first five on the road, bunch
Kansas
of playoff
City, they
teams.
Lose. Kansas City, they're going to lose. Yeah.
Kansas City gets the opener on the season, too. I was surprised that they're getting that against Houston. I thought that maybe they'd put a different opponent in there because Houston, especially without DeAndre Hopkins, who knows?
Well, they played him in the playoffs, but you still got Deshaun Watson. So Deshaun's a draw, and they played him in the playoffs. So you're going to get that game for them. But the, so after that, what do the Raiders have?
So they get the bye in week six. They have an early bye, and then it gets a little bit better. They go to they have Tampa in Vegas. That's a Sunday night game. And then it gets a little bit easier. They've got Cleveland, they've got the Chargers, and they've got Denver. Those three games in a row, Cleveland, Chargers, Denver.
But are they easy, though? Will Cleveland be easy, or will Baker Mayfield break out of his shell? Will OBJ all of a sudden turn into something?
I mean, until I see Cleveland do something, I'm just going to assume that they're the Cleveland Browns. I mean, we've been waiting for 20 years for them to be good, and they haven't been. So until
fair.
I see it.
No, it's fair. It's fair.
We don't need them to be good. We just wonder if they're going to be competitive. Because they're competitive, they can still clip a good team.
You know, I think it's fair. I think the Cleveland Browns will be better this year than they were a year ago. I honestly do. I think there's some stability there with the coaching staff. I think that they'll get Baker Mayfield to play better. Got to remember, Stefanski came from the Minnesota Vikings, so he got Kirk Cousins to turn into a playoff caliber quarterback. So I think he could potentially get them to where they need to be, where people don't bag on them as much as in the past.
Then they've got the Chiefs again. They get the Chiefs a second time on
November 22nd.
They're going to
get worked by the Chiefs. The Chiefs going to work them.
The last seven games of their schedule, they got Atlanta, the Jets, the Colts, the Chargers again, Miami, and Denver. Those last seven games feels like there's five, six wins easy in there.
See, I'm not ready to cash in on Denver yet and just give Denver away. They still
Who's
got
the QB?
They got Von Miller. They like Locke that they
Drew
took
Locke.
From Drew Locke. They like him. They went out and got not one but three receivers. They already had a big receiver. They went out and got a running back. I mean, I think Denver going to be different than what we think. I think they'll be a different football team. And they started to play better toward the end of the year, too.
All right, let's take a look at a different part of the schedule, a great part of the schedule. The Monday night schedule is legit right out of the gate up until about week 10. It's nothing but great games. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. So Sunday night football, guys, has been the spot that gets the best games for the simple reason that they are able to flex in the second half of the season. They're able to put the games that they want in that schedule. The Monday night schedule is locked in. So you kind of have to cross your fingers and hope that the stars stay healthy and that the teams we think are going to be good are going to be good. Because if this schedule is as good as it looks like, they're going to have the best Monday night slate in a really, really long time. Key, you just mentioned it, that the week two matchup between the Saints and the Raiders, that's going to be a great game. It's the opening of their new stadium in Las Vegas. You've got a team with Drew Brees at quarterback. That's going to be great. Then you go to week three right after that. You got Kansas City and Baltimore, the two teams that we talked about yesterday in the AFC. If it's not one of those two teams, I don't know who it might be. In the first 3 weeks, you've got two games that you absolutely can't miss.
No, I know Vegas may not be up and running fully by this time, but just assume that it is. Can you imagine what Vegas is going to look like for that Monday night game? Raj had to chime in, of course. It's going to be crazy. You know, it's going to be wild. Southwest Airlines will be flying in from New Orleans every 30 seconds. I mean, that game is going to be wild. And then you talk about the Kansas City-Baltimore game. I mean, that one, two quarterbacks, the future of the NFL. I mean, it's just they got it right. I mean, but I always feel like the Monday night matchups are always good at the beginning. It just depends on how the team shake out.
I don't know, dog.
If they start out good.
That Titans-Broncos matchup doesn't look too good.
Well, that's the second half. That's the one through really.
I don't know because the Titans were the AFC
championship game.
AFC championship game. And like I just told you last segment, I don't know if you can't discount out the Denver Broncos yet. I just don't – what they've done is – what John Elway has done has been impressive this offseason. I like what he's done this offseason. I like the direction that they're headed. Now, Whether or not that translates on the field, that's another thing. But what they've done, I'm like, okay, I see y'all. I see you trying to do something.
So KC and Baltimore in week three. Week four, you get the Falcons and the Packers. So you've got Aaron Rodgers against Matt Ryan. That's another really exciting matchup.
And Atlanta started playing better toward the end of the year.
Atlanta had one of the weirdest seasons you're ever going to see. They got off to a good start, and then they were literally the worst team in football for about 2 months, and then they were good again at the end. It was just bizarre.
And they got Todd Gurley now, so everybody wants to see what that looks like.
Week 12, the Chargers go to New Orleans. That's another good – I mean, who knows? Maybe Justin Herbert is playing by there. Maybe Tyrod Taylor's got him cooking. You still have the Saints doing what they do. You've got the Cardinals, Kyler Murray going to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. That's a really good matchup.
Man, when was the last time the Cardinals had a Monday night game?
They'll sneak in there once in a while.
Was it Kurt Warner still the quarterback?
Yeah, probably. Denny Green, if you want to crown their asses, then go ahead and crown them. That was a Monday night game. I don't know how long ago that was, but that happened on Monday Night Football. You got the Rams and the Bears on Monday night in week seven, too, at SoFi. I mean, they're just out of the gate. It's just one good game after the next.
Yeah, the Bears game will be a good one. No, the matchups certainly have been put together preseason the way that you want your schedule to look. It just depends on what those teams turn out to be.
Go to the Chiefs for a second. We know that they're going to open the season. They're going to take on the Houston Texans. We know that they got Lamar Jackson and the Ravens week three, Monday Night Football. Does it feel like we're at the beginning of, and I don't want to say a Patriots run because that took 20 years and we're probably never going to see that again. But are we in a little sweet spot, maybe a 5-6-7 year window where the Chiefs are not going to win the Super Bowl every year, but they're going to be the team to beat every year for the next 5 or 6 years?
They're going to be one of the five teams. They're going to be one of the four teams, better yet, in the preseason at AFC that you talk about going to the Super Bowl. You know, they're going to flip. 1 year they'll be favored to win it all. The next year they'll be two. Then they'll win it all. Then they'll drop down to three, come back at four, go back up to one. That's what the window that you're in. Because these other teams are better, are good too. Here's one of the biggest problems that you have with the New England Patriots dynasties. Outside of the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens, there was really no other team that you looked at in the AFC and was like, oh, man, they're going to be ridiculous. I mean, Denver had that – when they got Peyton, that was kind of, you know, that kicked them to the next level. But other than that, you never felt like the Indianapolis Colts was going to the Super Bowl every single year when they had Peyton Manning, because Peyton Manning and them couldn't do nothing with the New England Patriots, and everybody knew that.
So but was that a function of the – that wasn't a function of the Colts being bad. That was a function of the Patriots being incredible.
Well, yes, it was a function of – but they was going to always have to run into them or run into the Pittsburgh Steelers. They would have
Couldn't
to
we
run
say
into
the same about
them.
The Chiefs, though, that everybody's got to run through Patrick Mahomes?
No, it's not. No, I can't. No. No, I'm not going to say that. No, because these other teams – like the Baltimore Ravens, or right now, even though they didn't win the championship, they somewhat are on even footing with the Kansas City Chiefs. You got to remember, too, Kansas City had to fight back in these playoffs. The New England Patriots, when they was on their run, they wasn't down by double-digit touchdowns and having to make miracle comebacks.
You better ask the Atlanta Falcons if that's true.
No, that's one damn game. Yeah, no. I said that when they were on their miracle run.
You look at Kansas City, though, when you look at Kansas City, though, and I'll give you the Ravens. I'll give you the Ravens that they could knock that thing back and forth a lot like the Steelers and the Patriots did. And my crystal ball doesn't work right now, but I'm not seeing anybody else in the AFC that leads me to believe that, you know what, they're going to be able to give Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson a good run. I don't see that Denver. I don't see that Indy. I don't see that other team in the AFC right now.
Well, one of the reasons you don't see it because we haven't seen what Indy looks like with Phillip Rivers. We haven't seen Pittsburgh again with Ben Roethlisberger coming back. We haven't had a chance to see a retooled Raider team after 3 years moving to Vegas. We don't know what the Chargers are going to look like with Justin Herbert. It's almost like if you replace Tom Brady and put him with the Chargers, do the Chargers go ahead? If you put Cam Newton with the Chargers, do they go ahead? Do you feel like Tyrod Taylor is good enough? No. Is Justin Herbert good enough? No. So what's the one thing that they could be missing with the Chargers? The quarterback. Everything else we like. right? I mean, it's just a quarterback. And so until we actually see it, Kansas City is better than everybody else. Until we actually see it. Because we don't think Tennessee is there.
Not Tennessee, not Houston, not Buffalo.
Well, Houston ain't. The reason Houston,
they gave away their guy.
Got rid of the damn receiver, damn fool.
Hopkins. Yeah, no, that's what I mean. I just, you look at this and the way that it sets up, it just feels that the way that Kansas City is run and the dude that they have quarterback, those seem incredibly bankable.
It is, but I want to see these other teams before I just say, you know what, they the team to beat from here on out.
All right, Andrew Whitworth, the Rams left tackle. He's going to join us next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.